song of praise. Really, it's a prayer. And what a great song to sing. Really, the first time we've sung that song, really here, it's from the new sets of books that we're singing from. The Wild's Songbook is one of them, and the Rejoice Hymnal, a celebration hymnal, and we praise the Lord for the new songs that we are singing. And what great truths are there. Make you a servant, to be humble, and that Lord revives the spirit of the humble. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 12 tonight. Acts chapter 12, as we dig into God's Word this evening and declare that God answers prayer. Amen? God answers prayer. Now, last few Wednesdays, we've been dealing with the subject of prayer following the theme of this year of revive. Now, if there's going to be revival, if you're going to revive, the church will revive, it's going to be revival of prayer. Every major revival was preceded by seasons of prayer. Every action and reaction and proceeding revival has been followed by prayer. You'll know if you've been revived or if you want revival if you're praying for it. Number two, you'll know if you've been revived after revival, your prayer life has been changed. Why? Because it's communication with God. Your Christian life started off with prayer. I tell people like this, I kind of scare folks a little bit, but if you're saved, if you've never got a prayer answered, you're not saved. Folks like to argue with that, but think about it. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you prayed to receive Christ, you got a prayer answered. So if your prayer didn't get answered and you didn't pray that, then you never got it to begin with. But a Christian's prayer life, a Christian's life should be characterized by prayer. It's not an afterthought, it's reality. And just like God who saved you from hell, He can save you from whatever happenings today. We believe in the power of prayer. I think it's interesting as we go to Acts chapter 12, the Lord laid this on my heart. Acts chapter 12 is an unusual text because people are praying and seeking God's face and God answers their prayer and they don't even know it, they don't even recognize it. Have you ever been there seeking God, asking for prayer, and God answers your prayer and you're so caught up in the action of prayer, you don't even see the answer. Well, let's look tonight in God's Word, following up on the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison," here it is, "but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I want you to look at that. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, things happen when God's people pray. Have you prayed unto God without ceasing for someone? The prayer of supplication. I remember as our church gathered here and we prayed, and it was Pastor John Utley, and I'd grown up in the church where I'm telling you, we believed in the power of prayer. This country church in Glen Raven, North Carolina. I remember services sometimes where they were cut short or really carried long whenever we would just stop and just anoint and pray over people. And it was not unusual to have answers to prayer right then. And that evening, people answering, saying they've got prayer for healing and prayer for this and that. But I remember when a man of our church left his family. He locked away, left his home. In fact, people thought that he had disappeared. They thought that he was just kidnapped or something. He just walked away. Well, our church, remember this as a boy, our church gathered around, held hands together in a circle. And let me tell you something. As a boy, I remember, first of all, thinking it was a little strange having to hold somebody's hand, but praying there, agreeing in prayer for this man. And we prayed. I remember I could sense the power of God upon that place. You know what God did to this man? He was so far away from God. God drew him, brought him back to his family, brought him place to a public repentance. I went back there not too long ago. He's still serving Jesus today there. I believe in the power of prayer. Power of prayer for healing. There are times that we've gathered together as a church and we prayed for healing to happen. And I remember the first time we did that here at Tabernacle. And it was easier, a little easier on the Fine Arts building. It was a little larger. We could all get around in a circle. And we, at that time, it was 75 of us or something. We all gathered there in a circle, held hands, and prayed for Pastor John's son. You remember that? And what happened that week? A boy that was just having sores and bleeding was miraculously healed. We believe in the power of prayer. You know, God answers prayer when God's people pray. In Acts chapter 12, the Apostle Peter is facing a difficult time. He's been imprisoned for the third time for his faith. In chapters 4 and 5, he stood boldly before the Sanhedrin, but each time, God miraculously showed up. But this time, King Herod didn't want him to get away with it, and so a death sentence was pronounced, and it was set to be a public execution. You see, Herod knew that previously Peter had been released from prison, so this time he wasn't taking any chances. Did you see what he did to thwart the power of God? He tried to thwart God's power. Look at verse 4. He was placed with four quaternions of soldiers. Now that word means 16. 16 scarred, battle-scarred servants of Rome. Four sets of four, sitting six-hour shifts. He was chained on the left hand and on the right side. One soldier watched the inner door, another watched the outer door, and the servants of Rome and the enemy was at work, but God's people and God himself was at work as well. See, you can't, the power of prayer supersedes anything that the enemy is trying to put against you. You understand tonight that our enemy tonight is not a certain political party. Our enemy tonight is not people in those parties. Our enemy tonight is not your neighbor or that person that's sitting across here at church tonight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's time for God's people to pray. See, I believe if they had stormed the gates and they had tried to take matters in their own hand, they would have fallen flat. Instead, they got a hold of heaven. I believe it's important for church to get a hold of heaven. Notice, they prayed without ceasing unto God for Peter. They prayed fervently, persistently. God answered their prayer. Sometime in the middle of the night while Peter was locked up and on lockdown, the Bible goes on to say here in the text that a light shone in the prison cell where Peter was sleeping. An angel of the Lord came upon him and he was set free. Peter, the text tells us that Peter went out of that prison. He followed the prison out of the first ward down to the second ward. He came to the iron gate. I want you to see this, Acts chapter 12. He came to the iron gate that led out of the prison. And as he gets there to the prison, they get to that person, verse 10. It opens. It's like an automatic door. It opened on the door. It's an amazing miracle of God. But something unusual happens when it comes to the door of the home of people praying for him. They had been praying and knocking on their door was the answer to their prayer. But it's so outside the realm of their possibilities, they try to rationalize it and even refuse to answer the door. They would rather believe that Peter was a spirit. They would rather believe there was just some superstition going on or some mistake than that God answered their prayer. Now, I begin to think about today because I believe sometimes we pray and the answer to our prayer maybe knocking at our door, but we're not willing to open it up and recognize that God's at work. We're praying for revival this year. Are you praying for revival? Let's know and let's recognize when God answers that prayer. Let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not grieve the Holy Ghost. When God chooses, and I believe this is the year that God's going to breathe and outpour His Spirit upon this place and all of you people, and on me like never before. And I want to be ready. I want to answer. I don't want to say something kooky's going on. I don't want to say, okay, this is superstitious. This is just some, let's just keep praying. No. I want to recognize when God answers prayer. I just want to give God the glory. Recognize it. I believe God's preparing our hearts because it says here, they were astonished. It's the same word. It's not unusual for people to be astonished that God's at work. You know, Matthew 12:23, when Jesus healed the one possessed of the devil, the disciples were astonished. Mark 2:13, when the lame man picked up his bed and walked, they were astonished. Mark 6:51, when the wind was contrary, on the fourth night, Jesus came walking on the sea. I was at men's prayer event. Someone said, how is it scientific? How did Jesus walk on the sea? Any way he wants to. He's God. And so he was walking. They were astonished. They thought Jesus was some spirit. Same word, Acts 2, 7, verse 12. In chapter 10, when the Jews were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, when the Spirit fell upon the Gentiles and they spake with utterance, everybody around them were astonished. Why? Because God was at work. Acts chapter 9, verse 21, when Saul was saved, that one that murdered the church, they were astonished. You know, we're praying for the salvation of souls. Are you praying for... It shouldn't surprise us if we're praying for someone to be saved and to come to this church under conviction and come to Jesus Christ, their Savior. Don't question what God's doing. I don't know. Did they really mean it? I talked to folks before. They say, well, I just don't know. When people go through and make professions of faith. Now, that's between them and God. But do you realize that people just generally won't make something up? I mean, sometimes people will to go through the motions. But let's leave that to the Lord. Let's not try to move things around. Let's just follow the leading of the Lord. When Saul was saved, they're thinking, there's no way this guy can be saved. There's no way this could happen. They were astonished. When Jesus was at the temple studying this word out, astonishment, as a 12-year-old boy, when he spake and he taught and corrected them, it says they were astonished. When the damsel rose from the dead, they were astonished. The women at the empty tomb, they were astonished. When Jesus said he rise from the dead, amazed, astonished, beside themselves, they couldn't believe it. Now listen, that can be a reaction. If it happened to these disciples, if it happened to those women that went to the tomb, if it happened to everybody that was close to Christ when God was at move, if it happened at Pentecost and Pentecost Part 2, I think it could possibly happen to us. I think that could be a normal temptation. Why? Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My dad gave the testimony on Sunday night about that statement. I was wondering that as well, as that preacher said, God doesn't want to do great things in your life. And you're thinking, wow, that's a little downer. He said, God wants to do the impossible. Because if it's just something that you can rationalize and you can reason through, then it could have just been any sort of thing. But when it's impossible, that's when you know God did it. So look at the text tonight. I want us to be prepared for when God answers prayer. Have you ever been blown away because God did something in your life that you were asking him to do? Shocking news tonight. God answers prayer. He'll even answer your prayers. God wants to. God delights to. God answers prayer. As shocking as may seem, God wants to answer your prayer. So let's look tonight. What are some times that we really seek God in prayer? Look first, the reasons for prayer. What drives you to your knees? What puts you in your prayer closet? When do you pray? What often causes you to pray? Abandon your schedule and change your priority. What was it in the text that literally drove this church to her knees? Well, there was a difficult situation. You know, dangers and fears often drive us to pray. Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Acts 12, verse 1 says, about that time. Okay, what time are we talking about? Well, this is a time, first of all, of famine. Chapter 11 closes with a famine. Acts 11, prophets have come from Jerusalem to Antioch to tell them and prophesy that a dearth of famine was coming to the whole land. And about that time, so already they're going through an economic trouble. About that time, a time of famine, a bad economic trial in their life. They've got economic problems that are happening, and they're already going through these issues. And then this man, Herod the Great, starts to cause even more problems. So about what time? It's already bad enough. Have you ever been there? You heard the statement, bad things come in threes? Well, there's no verse for that, but it just seems sometimes that the things just start to pile up. They're already having economic problems. And then to make matters worse, politically, there was somebody out to vex them. To purposely, the word vex, purposely anger and agitate the church. Here's a man that came from a family. Now, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree here. Here's Herod. Do you remember his grandfather who had all the children, the boys, murdered 2 years and younger because he wanted to stop Jesus? That was his grandfather. It was his father, Herod Antipas, who had John the Baptist beheaded. So here is Herod Agrippa. He has, first of all, James killed. So the first person that he killed was James. He already did it, already accomplished. You say, well, why didn't God protect James? God had a purpose for James that was different for Peter. In fact, Peter, later in his life, is going to die. He knew he had a death sentence. Remember in John chapter 21, when Jesus is talking, he says, Peter, when you're old, they're going to girt you up and carry you, and they're going to stretch forth your hands, and they're speaking of the manner that Peter would die. And Peter didn't like that news. Peter said, what's going to happen to John? Why am I going to die? What's going to go on with John? And Jesus said, what's that to you? If my desire for John until I return, that's between me and John. I got something for you to do. But there's something about Peter's life that he knew something about. He says, when you're old. Most likely he's still in his 30s here. And, you know, that can be viewed old by some. I used to think that 30 was ancient. You know, but listen, he's not old yet. He's kind of operating on the promise of God. But James has been killed. He's vexing certain of the church. He's killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. In Jewish law, death by sword was for those that were entering into idol worship. So here's Herod. He's trying to appease this church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. It pleased the Jews, and so he said, all right, they liked it, so I'm going to get Peter as well. Have you ever been in a situation where it seems to be some sort of escalating bad situation? Do you see this? Already it was bad that they're in a famine. Already it was bad they lost James. And now there's Peter. Peter's in prison. It seems like everything was stacked up against them. What has God allowed into your life? What big things have unfolded beyond your control? It's a dangerous situation they're in. A famine, an execution, an imprisonment. And now he's asking for and calling for a public execution. It's leading up to it. The terms are it's just spiraling out of control. They're going to bring him up. It says, lead him up. Do you see that? To take Peter also. And his intent was to take him from prison and to bring him, deliver him, and to put him forth, to bring him forth to the people after Easter. Well, just as a side note, there are those that say this, you know, it's a mistranslation. It shouldn't say Easter, it should say Passover. Well, I don't have time to go into all of it, but it's a correct translation. If you look, the days of the Passover, the Jewish Passover actually was biblically at before the days of unleavened bread. So Passover started first, then were the days of unleavened bread. The Christian Easter, what we celebrate, followed right after that. So it's a correct translation, and it's kind of interesting because twice John speaks of the Jews' Passover. So on purpose, it's as if Herod is trying to replicate what? He's trying to replicate the death of the Savior. He was going to let it pass this time of celebration, and he was going to bring Peter up, bring him forth to the people. He was going to put Jesus on trial just like or Peter on trial just like had been on display with Jesus before Pilate. It's getting worse, and they get before the throne of God. It's an impossible circumstance, but they went before the Lord. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have a recourse. They couldn't go to another king. There wasn't an election. There was no Supreme Court to appeal to. No human options. No way they could just plead their way out. They're in an impossible circumstance, and they go before the Lord in prayer. They think he's going to be executed, but they pray. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want you to notice, secondly here, this resolve in prayer. So what reasons to pray? Well, there's a lot of reasons to pray. Dangerous, escalating circumstances of life, impossible circumstance. What happened in their prayer? Well, they made their prayer without ceasing. They went before the Lord. They didn't stop. They didn't check in and check out. They didn't leave it just some sort of perfunctory prayer. They prayed, and they prayed through. How badly do you want an answer to your prayer? How badly do you want to get a hold of heaven? And here they pray without ceasing to God for prayer. Peter's in prison. They can't petition. They can't riot. But what they can do is they pray. You know, sometimes we think there's nothing we can do. Understand the greatest thing you can do is pray. Pray. And sometimes we pray, and prayer is communication with God. Unfortunately, sometimes people pray, and it's not necessarily, it's everything but to God. Remember the Pharisee praying so people could see him on the corner tops and to hear him? Sometimes it's the flowery words that we've just memorized and some sort of incantation. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thou my soul to keep. I mean, God is good. God is great. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thank you for the grub. I don't know exactly what... If you truly are saying thank you for this day, praise God for that. But how many times does God get thanked for the day for people that aren't really thankful for the day? Just going through the motion. Bless the missionaries, this, that, and the other. Their prayer was unto God. It has to be, if God's going to answer your prayer, it's got to be a genuine prayer, and it's got to be to God. Not to the person in front of you. You've heard it when you're in prayer meetings, and it's as if the person is just trying to deliver a message. I've done that in my family sometimes. As we were praying in a circle, I'll be praying, and I'm like, Lord, just please touch my sister, help her to be right with you, and help my brother to be right. You know, sometimes children are off, and they do things like this, but how sad is it when an adult goes before the throne, and their motivation is not to talk to God, it's to talk to everybody else? Have you been there in a service, and I tried desperately not to do this, but I've heard it before. In services where there's preaching services, and a preacher will preach, and maybe wasn't clear about something or this, that, and the other, and then the preacher will come up after that preacher's down and re-preach his message, and sometimes re-preach it in a prayer. You know, listen, the point of prayer is not to talk to somebody else out there. The point of prayer is to talk to God. Well, I just feel comforted when that person prays for me. That's not the purpose of you praying with that person. It's not to hear the soothing intonations or the words. You're not exhorting the person while you're praying. You're talking to God. It has to be God. It reminds me of a little boy praying for a bike, and he was praying for a bike, and he was praying and shouting, God, I beg you, God, to send me a bike! Kept screaming and screaming, and his mother said, hey, God's not deaf. And he said, I know that, but Grandma is, and she's upstairs. Pray to get a hold of heaven. They prayed unto God. Church was driven to its knees in a dangerous situation, and they were praying, escalating, impossible situation. Oh, I've got to have you. I've got to pray. God, I need you. They didn't stop. You say, well, what if you run out of words? John Bunyan said, it's better to have prayer without words than words without prayer. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Holy Ghost makes intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been before heaven and you're praying and you're getting a hold of God, and it's just sometimes you don't know what to ask for, and they're just praying. They're seeking God, coming before his throne, and it's only you, God. They're praying right directly to the Lord. When's the last time you prayed like that and it interrupted your schedule? Maybe when's the last time you lost some sleep as you prayed? How sincere are you about seeking God in prayer? James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Now, that doesn't mean that God's some glorified genie, that you can just take that little lamp and go, all right, here we go. I'm going to keep asking until you... I'm going to keep asking. You've been around a kid. My son can ask me a million times for candy at 9 o'clock in the morning. The answer's always going to be no. It's not as if, all right, okay, I'll give you candy. God will say, by the way, no is an answer too. Later is an answer too. Don't come childishly thinking God's always going to say yes and agree with you. We give God options. You know, you can do this, do that, do that. That's what Kurt Skelly was preaching on. Sometimes it's D, none of the above, all right? God's going to do what God's going to do. We can ask him, but also while you're praying, just ask him to direct his will in your heart. I prayed this way, Lord, answer this prayer. My heart is, please, if this is not your will, please change my desire. Have you ever been praying and praying through, and all of a sudden your prayers change? That's what we were talking about last week with John Rice talking about healing. He says, sometimes I pray and ask for healing. God says, he gives me faith for the healing. Other times he says, this is not going to happen. God will give you peace with his direction. But James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Verse 3, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. All right? So if you're in line next time at the gas station and you're ready to get that Powerball ticket and Pastor Score's not around to correct you, and you get that ticket and you get it, you know, dear Lord, I pray I win this ticket so I'll give to the church and I'll do this and that and the other. Sure. You're not tithing now. You're not going to tithe then either. So stolen money, amen? Come on, I'm just saying. If you're praying, you're saying, I want this, I want this. And you have to make sure that you are asking rightly, not to consume it upon your lust, but to give God the glory. You know, sometimes God will answer your prayer. Remember the Israelites? Be careful. You go to God and ask Him directly for something, He just may say yes. But you may not like the answer. Remember the Israelites? We want meat! Okay, you want it? He gave it to them. What happened? I wish I had the verse in front of me. He gave them leanness of soul with it too. I think we ought to pray that, let thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Thy will be done. God, if you don't want this to be answered, if you don't want to give this, are you bold enough? Do you believe God enough to pray like that? God, this is my heart, this is my request, but Lord, if you say no, what your will is best. I don't want you to say yes and it to be give me leanness of soul if that's not what you want for me. But this is in my heart, this is my desire. Change my heart. Give me a heart after you, God. David was a man after God's own heart. But they're praying genuinely, urgently, fervently. This word fervently speaks of without ceasing, its intensity. It's the word, medical term, stretching a muscle to a limit, total effort, fervent stretching as far as you can get, stretching out to God. The idea is a runner in a race, stretching toward the finish line, the effectual, fervent prayer. They were totally lost in prayer. This word is used when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Total anguish of soul. And science has proven that when you truly have total anguish of soul, the capillaries explode, and that's how he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Have you prayed even close to that? Pray. Where's the fire? Where's the fervency? Where's the passion? Where's the feeling? Where's the heart in prayer? You see, if we're having revival, there's going to be prayer. I'm not talking about a public show. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about you starting alone in your closet, getting hold of heaven. Just, in fact, Jesus says that's a good place to start. Get alone, you and God. Shut the closet door and just cry out with your soul to God. I encourage you this year, no more of the short little check in, check out. Pray. If we're going to have a revival, it's going to start with people praying. Seeking God's will. Praying God's will. Calling down what God has revealed already in His will and His word for prayer. Coming before the Lord and saying, not just saying this is just an option. No, this is the only option. If you don't step in, God, Lord, nothing's going to happen. This has to be you. Pray. I heard of a group of people that were arguing about the best way to pray. Sometimes we get caught up in these silly arguments. One guy said, well, if you study Scripture, the proper way to pray is upon the knees. Paul says, for this cause I'll bow my knees. And another one said, no, and if you look at Solomon in the Old Testament and look at the prayer of the tabernacle and temple, they would pray with outstretched arms, with upturned eyes. In fact, the prayer in Timothy is, I will that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And so there was a little second argument on prayer. Paul bowed his knees, and the other one said, you had to lift your hand. And the third scholar stood and said, no, such a posture could be too proud. Think of the publican and the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee stood out publicly like that, but the publican beat his breast. So there really needs just to be like a falling before him and clasping your hands in front like this, both thumbs. He said, both thumbs austerely clasped, pointed towards the ground. An old country boy stood up and said, well, last year I fell into a well head first, and both my heels were sticking up and my head was pointing down. He said, right then and there, I prayed the best prayer I ever did. I was standing on my head. All right? I'm telling you, it's just getting hold of heaven. It's not going through some form and function. It's just you getting hold of God. Not pleasing God with the posture of physically. It's the heart. And sometimes the body follows the heart. I mean, no, that's true. As we can't help but fall before Him. We can't help but cry out to Him. We can't help but connect in prayer. Oh, consistent, powerful, fervent prayer. They're praying in the middle of the night. God answers their prayer. One Puritan preacher said this, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. It's time to pray. Resolve, look thirdly, roadblocks to prayer. Why do we struggle believing God in prayer? We pray knowing God's the answer, at least intellectually. We don't have any other answer. There's only no human solution on the horizon. We've driven to our knees, fervently, consistently praying, and then the answer comes and we're disbelieving. Here we go. We claim to know God. We talk about the power of prayer. When it comes down to it, why do we struggle really believing prayer? Look at our text here, verse number 12. It says that when the answer was given, verse 12, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad, you're crazy. She constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, you really think Peter's guardian angel be knocking on the door, and saw him, and they were astonished. He, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Praise God. Okay, here they are. They're praying, they're seeking his face, and God answers the prayer. God hears their require. God hears their heart. God answers it unexplainably, and it's just a powerful answer to prayer. And they're seeking him, and God answers that prayer, and they just weren't ready for it. Do you understand tonight that sometimes God's going to answer something, and it may be completely different than you thought it would be, how he would answer it? I don't know what they were expecting. They were asking God and praying for Peter, but all of a sudden Peter's knocking on the door. You have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit when it comes to prayer. God is not going to do your prescription necessarily. Someone said this, you know, we want to serve God, but only an advisory role. We want to advise God. Let's just let God be God. Isaiah 55, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'll never forget the time I was driving down. It was actually last year when I missed some time here. My wife got in a car accident down in Georgia. She was actually heading to Orlando to visit her family, if you remember that time. And I got the news on that Saturday, and it was actually the Sunday night. We did a school dedication. Something was going on, and so we ended up leaving. I was driving down there. I said, my wife's down there. She's in trouble. Her car is in the shop. Whatever happened, I think she actually went over something, and it snapped the brake line. That's not a good thing. And yes, they were in Georgia before Florida, where the roads are just horrendous. I mean, it is like driving through a maze with pieces and things on the road. Well, I was actually scolding a little bit, you know, just kind of telling my wife, you know, listen, maybe next time you should maybe drive a little slower. Imagine me telling people to drive slower. You know, maybe, you know, just be looking out, and it can't be that bad. Well, sure enough, in Georgia, in the same area, my car, all of a sudden there was a tire. I'm telling you, the tire just popped out of the road. It's probably there, and I wasn't slow, and I wasn't paying attention. But there was a tire in my Malibu. Remember that thing that was all tore up? My Malibu hit that tire. We went bumped up in the air. Slapped down. Started dragging the front of the hood. I didn't really know what to do. I actually called Alan. I'm thinking, I'm on the side of the road here. What do I do? And Joey's scared in the front seat. And Joey started praying. Joey said, God, please help us. God, please. He was scared to death. We were on the side there. Joey was praying, and so I said, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to keep driving. As long as it's moving, I mean, it's dragging the whole bottom part of my car all the way through. And then all of a sudden, I saw one of those road vehicles, and I'm thinking, God answered my prayer. And I went out there, and I ran up to the road vehicle, and I'm not upset or anything like this, but I ran up to two road highway workers in Georgia. And I'm thinking, okay, God answered Joey's prayer. This is wonderful. And I said, my car's broken down. Can you help it? They just actually just looked at me like this. The guy was smoking. He goes, literally looked at me and goes, I'm thinking, man, you guys don't even know. You're the answer to my prayer. Come on now. Can you help me out here? You got AAA. Can you help me out? And he slowly rolled up the window and took off. I'm thinking, oh, boy. I was upset. I don't know how to tell Joey because I just told him God answered the prayer. A few minutes later, a car pulled up. One of those cars you can hear from about half a mile away. heavy rap music. And I'm thinking, I'm dead. All right. I'm sitting duck on the side of the highway. These folks are going to rob me. They're going to clean me out, take my sons, sell them to Afghanistan. I mean, it's going to be gone. And so I literally, this is public confession time, just me, you, and the radio audience. I, through prejudice, telling you, this is where I was. I rolled up the windows and I would not pull them down. Two gangster looking guys came out. I kid you not. Gangster looking guys with chains came up to my window. And I'm thinking, I am not rolling down my window. It's me and you, confession time. Probably done the same thing, okay? I said, I'm not rolling down my window. You're going to kill me. I was literally scared to death. He looked at me and said, you need help? I said, yeah, I need help. He said, it looks like, you know, this happens all the time, man. The people hit stuff when they get on the side of the road. All you need to do, he says, here's what you need to do. Rip, rip, rip. I don't understand what he was saying, but they started getting at it. Another two guys came from the back seat of the car. And I'm thinking, they're really going to kill me now. All four of them started working on the bottom of that car, pulled the whole bumper. What happened, I'd hit the bumpers, just smashed underneath the car. I don't know much about vehicles, but they ripped the whole front of the bumper out. And they took it out, and they said, try it now. And I moved perfectly with the bumper taken off, perfectly. And I said, Thank you, gentlemen. Can I pay you anything? I said, no, worry about it. Just want to help you out. Okay, I felt about that big at that moment. They walked away, and Joey saw something in them. To this day, I don't know. But they had marked out angel wings in the back of their T-shirts. Now, I don't know if angels listen to rap music on the highway, but I'm saying this. God heard my prayer, and I wasn't even recognizing God answered my prayer. It took me a long time to realize it and recognize it. You know, sometimes your prayer, answer to your prayer is going to come a little bit differently than you thought it would. That prayer for that amount of money may come through a job offer or splitting wood. You know, God's going to answer your prayer. It may not be how you were thinking. And revival could happen. Listen, I've studied his church history. Some of the greatest revivals happened in the most, actually all of them happened in the strangest ways possible. Little girl standing up saying, I love Jesus with all my heart. How would you think that, how could you imagine that revival would come with one little girl saying, I love Jesus? It fell. God moved. Humble laymen praying and seeking God's face. God. Let's not get a preconceived idea that it's going to happen with Evangelist Pharaoh comes here and preaches, and on the second night, it'll be wonderful. On the final night, everything's through. We have revival through those meetings, but that may not be when God sends revival. It could be tonight. The Spirit of God falls fresh. Make sure we don't quench the Holy Spirit. We follow Him. What do we do when you're done praying? We'll close with this. Roadblocks to prayer. Sometimes we just don't expect it. Sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't want to because it's not in our preconceived notions. It's not how it's always been done. Be very careful with two statements. It's always been done this way, and we always done it this way, and we can't do anything differently. You know, this has always happened this way, or everybody else is doing it. So if we're going to have revival, it's going to be this way, or if we're going to have revival, this happened before. Listen, we can't put God in some sort of prescription. Let's let God be God. Amen. God's going to follow He's going to operate according to the bounds of His Word. Understand that tonight. We have to follow His leading. That may be where there's not a song service. That may be in a church service where there's not a message. That may be with the whole service being led of the Spirit is an altar call. That may be, horror of all horrors, that at 10:10, the first service goes to 10:15. Oh no, wow. It can't be that. Anything but that. May be where our night service doesn't stop at 7 o'clock. It goes to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You know, it's interesting that games can go all night and nobody bothers, but the power of God falls in such a place where we don't want to leave. We can't force it. We can't manufacture it. We can't push it. It may be where it does come through a structure that we put in place. Just because it may be where we schedule down the second stanza of whatever, and it's that one. All I'm saying tonight, we got to be ready for it. Be ready for it. Verse 14, when they heard Peter's voice, she opened up the door for gladness. Their gladness, rejoicing comes from prayer. When God answers prayer, be glad about it. Praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. They were astonished. They praised the Lord. Verse 17, He said, hold your peace. I think He had to tell them hold their peace because they were shouting a bit there. They were praising the Lord, and they were just magnifying God through the answers to prayer. And He tells them the story. And as He's telling them the story, He relates that to them, what happened. And he shares again what God did in his heart and how God answered his prayer. Look at this, verse 17. He beckoning to them with their hand to hold their peace, declared to them how God did this. And he said, go, show these things to James and the brethren. And they departed and went another place. Look at verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter. And when Peter had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. He went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. You see, it not just affected the church, it affected everybody else around him. And Peter understood that God answers prayer. Peter's pastoring a church in Babylon. He writes 1 and 2 Peter. He writes this, 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of what is good? Oh, let's seek the Lord this year. Let's have a God did it prayer. Let's have a God moment prayer. Let's pray in such a way where only God will get the credit. Let's seek him as we go before him. James Duncan, preaching with great unction and power, asked the secret of his prayer life, of such powerful preaching. He said that the secret is 13 hours of consecutive prayer. Charles Spurgeon was asked for the source of his secret power. He said, knee work. Livingston of Shotts, on two separate occasions, preached with such power in each service that 500 were converted. Both sermons were preceded by a night of prayer. Charles Finney, after spending a day in the woods in prayer and fasting, preached that night in a phenomenally backslidden congregation. The sermon was accompanied with such divine power that the whole congregation, except one man, fell upon the floor and voiced their agony under conviction of sin in such loud outcries that the preacher was forced to stop. Uncle John Vassar of the Tract Society, the pastor, said this: he absolutely prayed day and night, prayed about everything, prayed for almost everything, prayed with almost everybody he met. He prayed when he went out and when he came in. He prayed before every religious service and prayed all the way through it. He says, I've occupied the same room with him night after night and rarely went to sleep without him hearing him in prayer, or awoke without finding him in prayer. It's a book written by Praying Hyde. They called him Praying Hyde because of the prayer that the hours he would spend. They said, if you go by his bed, there's little divots in the floor where he spent so many hours, he would pray. The old African story is that the Africans, when they were saved, would go and they would walk through a thicket, and they would go and find a place in the middle of the jungle to pray. And after a while, the path would be so worn from their prayer life that it would be obvious that this was a place that they would go and pray. Well, you could always tell when an African was backsliding, because the grass would grow over the path. So they would go and approach each other and say, brother, the grass grows over your path. Let me ask you tonight, has the grass grown over your path of prayer? Let's get back to revival. Let's seek God. Let's be ready for the answer. Let's follow him as he answers. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer right now. Let's, as we spend some time before his throne. If you've got a special need tonight, we seek the Lord. You can remain seated. If the Lord prompts you to move forward and pray, do that. Pray right there at your seat. We just need to pray and seek God's face. The song we're playing and singing, I believe, tonight is whatever the pianist would be on that harp. But let's just seek the Lord tonight in this, as we seek his time of invitation. And let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father God, please fall upon us. Oh, we ask that you would lead, guide, and direct. We pray for these requests tonight. Oh, Lord, that you would answer according to your will and according to the desire you placed upon our hearts. We ask for healing. We ask for help. We praise you already in advance for what you've done. Oh, God, that each and every hurt, each and every need tonight that is out there, each and every prayer right now that's being lifted before your throne, oh, Lord, I pray that you would give a prayer of faith right now, supernaturally. Enable us to see your throne and pray, believing that it will be done. In Jesus' name.